we're going to be in the book of 1 Corinthians. So if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 or turn on your Bible apps and let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be talking a little bit about this theme, the love of Christ compels us. The love of Christ compels us. Now, we've been going through the book of Acts on Sunday mornings, and we've been tracking Paul through his missionary journeys, and we know a little bit about Corinth, because Paul stayed there for about 18 months, and we saw in Acts chapter 18, I believe it was, that Paul stayed there and did a lot of great work there. But the city of Corinth was a pretty crazy city. It had a lot of temples, and it had a lot of religious activity, and it had a lot of sailors coming in and out of town. So there was a very eclectic combination of religion and idolatry and immorality and kind of a party town. And Paul had spent 18 months in that particular city, and he'd done some things to help plant a church there. And the Corinthian church was kind of limping along after Paul left, and they wrote Paul a letter and asked him a series of questions. And in chapter 12, 13, and 14, Paul is going to give an answer to one of the questions that the church asks. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to see there in verse 1 that Paul says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be unaware." So he's been asked this question, "Paul, what are spiritual gifts? What is that topic all about?" And so he's going to answer this question. And we're going to track ourselves through this chapter today at a little bit of a fast pace so that we can again be reminded of this whole idea that you and I have been gifted by God. We've been gifted by God to encourage one another. We've been gifted by God to strengthen one another. And I've said this many times over the years, I cannot be all that God wants me to be unless you help me. God has put something in you that needs to rub shoulders with me so that I can grow and be all that God wants me to be. And the opposite is also true. You need to rub shoulders with other people who have something in them that when they get close to you and they share that spiritual gift with you, it helps you grow in your relationship with the Lord. So unfortunately, we need each other. We need each other. So tap the person on the front of you and say, "Hey, you need me, buddy. You need me. You need me." So we're going to look at four very simple principles from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning, and I hope that they motivate you and excite you about going out into the courtyard and trying to discover, okay, God, where do you want me to use my spiritual gifts this ministry year? And we're going to explain that a little bit as we go along. The first thing that we need to understand is that we are saved for service. There are a couple of verses that clearly dictate to us or clearly articulate to us that when God came into our life, he did a lot of things. But one of those things that he did in us is prepare us specifically for serving him. Here's a verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. It's a familiar verse. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, what? New things have come." See, when you became a follower of Jesus, when you surrendered your heart to him and received him as your Lord and Savior, new things were immediately infused into your life. And there's a wide variety of things that God has done for you. But one of the things we're going to discover is one of the new elements in your life is that you have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, he brought into you spiritual gifts that he wants you to use. New things have come. We also know the famous passage in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. These are ones we love to read, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." Right? "It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one may boast." But look at verse 10. "For we are his," what's the word there? "Workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for" what? "For good works." This is so interesting. "That which God prepared beforehand." So even before you became a Christian, God had prepared some good works for you and I to do. Now that's amazing. Not only did God prepare us to receive him in salvation, but God also prepared what we would do for him after we became followers of Christ. He prepared beforehand, and then look at the last part of that verse, so that we would what? Walk in the good works. Boy, if you think back on the last 7 days of your life, can you reflect and put a finger on things you've done for God this week? Can you think of any of the good works that he prepared for you, that you would walk in them? On Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday, did we consciously think about, God, I know you have some good works for me this week, and now I can go back over the last 7 days and articulate what good works you had me do? Or do we just kind of let the days run together? Paul is trying to encourage the people and say, hey, wait a minute, God saved you. Yes, it's a gift of God. It's not of works. It's by his grace. But he saved us to do something for him. He didn't save us just for the sake of saving us. And when he saved us for service. And now let's go to our passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to see the same thing that Paul encourages the Corinthian church with, this same idea. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 1, we just read, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, we do not want you to be unaware. Verse 2, for you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. What in the world is he talking about? If you were to walk through the ancient streets of the city of Corinth, you couldn't walk very far before you saw a temple on a hill. In ancient Corinth, they had multiple temples in the city. They had the temple to Aphrodite, the goddess of love and fertility. They had the temple to Apollos, the god of the sea, or Poseidon, the god of the sea. They had the temple to Apollos. They had the temple to Ventura Fortuna. They had the Pantheon, which was the temple to all the gods. And as you walk through the ancient city of Corinth, you quickly realize this is a very religiously diverse town. Now, if you were to walk up into one of those temples when they were having services, and you were to peek into the windows, you would see some pretty crazy rituals taking place. There would be people in one temple that were screaming and shouting things. There would be people in another temple that were expressing their worship through dancing and just kind of letting themselves go, having this deep emotional experience. If you were to glance into another window, you would see people kind of standing there in a chant and kind of standing there with their eyes closed, almost in a meditative state. And they would be just declaring things that they thought their God was telling them to proclaim. So you had all of these religious activities in these various temples in Corinth. And when Paul showed up into town and he began to proclaim Jesus, some of these folks that used to attend those temples and be involved in those rituals were becoming followers of Christ, and they started this Christian church. The problem was that they brought some of these rituals into the Christian church. And so when you went to church on Sunday at Corinth Grace Community Church, you would walk into the worship service and there'd be people over here that just feel like this God's telling them, and they're shouting words of wisdom and they're shouting words of knowledge from God. And then there's this middle section here. I won't have you do it this morning, but they would stand up and dance. And as the music was going, they would just kind of let themselves go and express themselves. And then over here in this section, they would be standing during the worship time and they would be almost in this meditative state, and they would just be searching for the words of God, and they would be shouting out these statements that they felt like God was telling them to say. And so if you walked into the Corinthian Christian church, it was chaos. It was a crazy, confusing service. All the groups thought that the Holy Spirit of God was encouraging them to do these things. And it got kind of extreme. In fact, we're going to see in just a minute, some people on this side were shouting, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. And some people on this side thinking that they were being filled with the Spirit of God, were shouting, Jesus is cursed. Jesus is cursed because he hung on a tree. And the Old Testament says anyone who hangs on a tree is cursed. So there was all this confusion going on in the church service. And so the leaders of the church wrote Paul and said, Paul, what are all these spiritual gifts about? Tell us how to use them as God directed, as God desires for them to be used. And the first thing that he says is, hey, when you were pagans worshiping in those temples around town, you were led astray. Don't bring those rituals into here. This is not God's way. God wants it to be done in a different way. You were led astray. That's an interesting phrase there, that they were kind of put a hook in their nose and led into this type of worship in the temple. And Paul is going to say, no, you're not going to be led like some lamb to slaughter. You're going to be engaged in the worship through the Holy Spirit's power, and you're going to share your spiritual gifts with each other. But it's going to be done in a very cognitive way, in a very conscious way, and you're going to celebrate each other because God wants his gifts to be used in a way that benefits all of us. See, if you were in one of these temple worship services, you were thinking, wow, the more I can get worked up and the more I can connect with my God or goddess, the more successful the worship service was. And so you went to church in the temple, you went to temple services hoping that you would get something emotionally dynamic out of it, and if you went home feeling spiritually aroused and connected to your God or goddess, that was a successful worship service. And people started coming into the Christian community in Corinth thinking that what needs to happen in church today is I need to get something out of this. I need to do whatever I want, I need to do to connect with God. And Paul is saying, no, when you come together, it's for each other. It's not for you as an individual. You can connect with God at home, but when we come together, it's not for me. It's for us. It's for us. And so he's going to explain that to us. So he gives a little bit of explanation. Hey, you were led away astray to these mute idols that can't even help you. And I just want you to know, he would say from the very beginning, don't think that what you did in those temples is what we're going to do here. It's different. And then he clarifies in verse 3, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Hey, those folks that were shouting out Jesus is accursed, that's not the Holy Spirit leading them to do that. That's some other small s spirit leading them to do that. Because we're here to magnify Jesus and to lift him up, not to condemn him. So in your notes there, I put these special gifts. The first thing that we have to understand about the spiritual gifts that Paul's going to talk about is that these gifts are for people who proclaim Jesus is Lord. So if you're a Christian here today, in your own life, you have proclaimed Jesus is Lord of your life, you have the Holy Spirit. And so spiritual gifts are not for everyone on the planet. Spiritual gifts from the Holy Spirit are for those that call Jesus Lord in their life. They're given to you as a gift at the time of salvation. Number two, we are gathered for service. You know, you can pray at home. You can pull out your guitar and do worship at home, or turn on a Pandora and do some worship at home. So sometimes people ask me, what's the importance of us coming together? Well, one of the important things that occurs when we come together as a church family is that we serve one another. Now, I want you to notice a progression here in these next three verses. Paul writes, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's not just one spiritual gift, there's a variety of them. And the Holy Spirit is the one that orchestrates and manages those. Verse 5, and there are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. When people who have spiritual gifts get together in a team, now they have created a service, a ministry. So people that have spiritual gifts get together in an organized way and they create a ministry. And then in verse 6 says, there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all these things in all persons. When ministry When ministry teams are organized and they actually do service, they make an impact. Now, what you need to understand is this. Since there are a variety of gifts, there's going to be a variety of ministries. If you take five people and you put them together and ask them to do a service for the Lord, the strength and impact of that ministry team is going to be dependent upon what gifts are on that team. If that team splits up and they join five other people, then that group of people may create a different ministry that has a different impact. I put down there in your notes, there's a process here or a progression. It says, first of all, the Holy Spirit apportions free gifts. And then those gifts are organized into local ministries. And then those ministries generate the impact intended by the Holy Spirit. That's why if you come to Auburn Grace, you say, well, we have these ministries. And then if you go to a wonderful Bible-believing church a few minutes from here, and you see what ministries they have, it's a different ministry model. They have different ministries. The reason they have different ministries is because they have different, the reason they have a different impact in the community is because they have different ministries. And the reason they have different ministries is because they have different gifts in their congregation. See, Auburn Grace and the other wonderful churches in our community are not in competition with each other. We, in fact, need each other because Jesus is trying to reach all the people of our region, and there's no way that one church can reach all the people in our region. There's no way that we can have enough of an impact on our own to reach all the people of Auburn. There are people in our community that we do not reach well, that other congregations reach really well. And God intends for all of us to work together so that we can reach all the people in our community. And so the Holy Spirit is smart enough to know the people in our community that need Christ. And he's smart enough to get different congregations to have different impacts so that all those people can be reached. And so what the Holy Spirit does is he puts different gifts in different congregations so that they can organize into ministry teams and have a different impact in our community than what we have. We can't be jealous of what other Christian congregations are doing in our town. We should applaud what they're doing in our town. Because they're doing things that we could never do. They're doing things that God wouldn't want us to do. How does the Holy Spirit orchestrate that? By putting different gifts in different people inside that congregation. We're going to see a little bit more of this in just a second. But we're gathered for service. We're gathered for service. Number three, we are equipped for service. Now we're in verse 7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. I think we should read that together. You ready? Let's read this together. It's on the screen. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. I've underlined two phrases on the screen there. One is each one. So if you're part of each one here this morning, you have a spiritual gift if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. There is not a single Christian that can say, I have no spiritual gift from God. Because it very clearly tells us here that to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Now, manifestation simply means something was hidden and now it comes to light. Something is unseen and now it can be seen. Do we want to see the Holy Spirit working in our church? Yes. And the way that the Holy Spirit works in our church is when we serve one another with the gift that he's given to us. Now watch the end of the verse. For the common good. The Holy Spirit, when he gives me a spiritual gift, it's not for me. This is the difference between the Christian church in Corinth and the temple services to the pagan gods. When those folks went to those services, they were going there with the idea that I've got to get what I need. When we come to the Christian family, we don't come to church or we don't come to Wednesday night or we don't go to Bible study thinking, I hope they get me what I need, or the gift that he has given to me is all about me. It is for who? It is for the common good. And I look out today and you all look very common, and so it's for all of you. It's for all of us today. It's for the common good. So the gift that you have, or the gift mix that you have, is for the family. It's not for your family at home. It's not for you and your wife or your husband. It's not for you and your kids necessarily. It is for all of our good. So the idea is, I need to understand what gift the Holy Spirit has given to me, and I've got to figure out how I can share it. I've got to have a ministry. I've got to have a mechanism that I can deploy the spiritual gift that I have. Because if I walk through my Christian life and I don't ever share the gift that I have, then I'm not being used by God to help someone else grow in their relationship with God. If you look back over your Christian experience, I bet there's some people you can name that really helped you along the way. And I bet you, if we could really dig deeper, we could not just identify who those folks are, but we could identify what gift they had that really helped you so much. Perhaps they had the gift of teaching. And somebody, when you sat under that person's teaching, when you were a young believer, wow, you just grew. Perhaps it was somebody that just had the gift of mercy, and when you were really going through that deep valley time, God brought this person who just knew how to sit with you and love you in the name of Jesus, and you grew by leaps and bounds because of their gift of mercy. I bet you can not only identify the people, but if we could really tear it down, we could identify the gift that they used, because the gifts were for the common good. Now, in verse 8, he starts to list some of these gifts. So let's look in verse 8, 9, and 10. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. That's a gift of the Holy Spirit, the word of wisdom. And to another, the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. And I want you to keep noticing that after every gift, Paul reminds them where the gift comes from. Who gives us the gifts? The Spirit, over and over and over, by the Spirit, by the one Spirit. Verse 10, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another distinguishing of spirits, to another very kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. So there's a beginning list of some of the spiritual gifts that have been given by the Holy Spirit over the history of the Christian church. And then verse 11 wraps it up and says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, watch this, distributing to each one individually just as what? He wills. So number one, all of us have at least a gift or a gift mix. And number two, we don't choose it. It's based on what He wills. Because He's smarter than we are. And He knows that if He wants to use your life and my life effectively, He knows which of the spiritual gifts would work best in your life and through your life. So it says very clearly, He distributes each one individually as He wills. We have a seminar here called Seminar 301, Exploring Grace Church, and in that seminar, we give you a spiritual gift test to help you try to discern, Holy Spirit, which gift or gift mix did you give to me? It's not our job to look through these lists and then to say, hey, you know what? This is the gift that I want. We wait and we try to discern what gift He has given to us. We are equipped for ministry. Now let's fast forward in chapter 12 down to verse 28. And it says there, and God has appointed in church first apostles, then prophets, third teachers, then miracles, and the gift of healing, helps, administration, various kinds of tongues. In fact, if we take the Bible as a whole in the New Testament, there are three main passages that describe or list the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And depending upon how you understand the scriptures and depending upon who you read and who you talk to, there are about 19 to 25 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we're not going to go in this morning to talk about all of them. We've done that in the past. But just here's a basic breakdown of the list. Some of them are repeated on this list in these different passages. So what gift do you have? Do you know what your gift is? Because we see here that every individual receives a gifting revealing the Holy Spirit's work. We also see here in these verses that every gifting has a community focus. In chapter 12 and verses 8 through 10, we see that there is a faith community focus. The gifts that are listed there are gifts like wisdom and knowledge and teaching, where the faith community needs these gifts to grow in their walk with God. But in verses 28 and 29, we see that there's even some gifts that help the unsaved community. This is why we have the prophets and the evangelists and the tongues, the interpretation of tongues. These things were used to reach out not to the faith community, but to the unsaved community. So God wants to use us to have an impact for Him within our church family and outside these walls. And so He gives us these spiritual gifts. He equips us for service. And every gifting is distributed by the Holy Spirit. That's verse 11. Every gift is distributed by the Holy Spirit. And finally, we're going to try and wrap up early today. Oh, I thought somebody would say amen to that. You know, amen to that. Because I want to give you some extra time to go out into the courtyard. And so we've kind of synchronized our service today so that we can get out 15 or 20 minutes early so that you can spend some time out there. So let's wrap up this last section with number four. Number four, we are unified through service. So we are saved for service, we're gathered for service, we're equipped for service. The Holy Spirit has put some tools in our backpack, so to speak, so that we can make an impact in the lives of other people within the congregation and outside the walls of our church. And then number four, something happens to us as a church family when we serve one another. So we have to have the right attitude about each other's gifts. We're unified through service. And what we want to find in this section this morning is a diversity of gifting, but with unity. Let's start there in verse 12. It says, "For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit." Verse 14, "For the body is not one member, but many." There's this crazy idea that yes, we are one church family, but we consist of a lot of individual parts. So we look at ourselves both as individuals and as part of the collective family. And Paul is saying here that, yes, there is diversity. We are individual members. There's many members to a church family. But yet there's unity. There's a sense of oneness. There's a sense that we are one body. The body is one, but it has many parts. Second of all, we need to understand that all gifts are equally valuable. That no matter what spiritual gift you have, we don't want to look at someone else and say, "Wow, because I don't have that spiritual gift, I'm not really valuable to the church family." Because Paul knew that in the city of Corinth, there would be some people that feel inferior if they don't have a gift that they desire to have. And so he says there in verse 15, he said, "If the foot says, 'Because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body,' it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, 'Because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body,' it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as He desired. If we were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body." You know, you can't say, "Hey, you know what? I'm not an eye. I'm just a foot. So I'm really not that valuable here. I'm just the person that works in the nursery. I'm just the person that sets up the tables on Wednesday night. I'm just the person that teaches third grade. Or I'm just the person that drives the van for the youth group. Or I'm just the person that does the filing in the office on Thursday afternoons. I'm not a big player." This verse would say, no, every gift is equally valuable. Every gift. So if you are serving in the office because you have the gift of helps, if you're serving in the nursery because you have the gift of mercy, every gift is valuable. every gift is needed. Then he switches the argument and he says, not only is every gift valuable, but every gift is necessary. Look down there in verse 21. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And then verse 23. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked. There are some people, when they use their gifts, they get a little bit more attention. Because they're the one teaching the Wednesday night class, not just attending it. They're the one that is singing on the worship team. They're the one that is writing the articles for the newsletter. And so there are some people that are using their spiritual gifts, and in the exercising of those gifts, they get a few more pats on the back than other people that are doing it more behind the scenes. And what Paul is saying is that we do not say to one another, I don't need you. All you do is write for the newsletter. I teach women's Bible study, or I lead the prayer ministry. And so Paul is using this two-sided argument to communicate that all of us, no matter which gift or gift mix we have, we are desperately needing each other. I gave this example last night, and we'll wrap it up with this. Let's say there's a second grade boy in Sunday school whose parents are getting a divorce and his world is blowing apart. And you hear an announcement that we're trying to get a partner in the children's program to help with these little second grade kids. And you say, well, I don't really have the gift of teaching. I think my gift might just be hospitality, or it might be mercy. And so you go, well, okay, I only have the gift of mercy. I probably can't make a big impact in that second grade Sunday school class. But you sign up anyway, and you walk into that class. And the next thing you know, this little boy comes running up to you and just squeezes the daylights out of you. And yeah, you may not be the best teacher out of everyone in the Sunday school program, but you know what? God orchestrated this whole meeting so that your gift of mercy would be in that second grade class. Because God knows that that little boy doesn't need a teacher today as much as he needs somebody just to show mercy to him. So we can't say, you know what, the gift of teaching is far more important than the gift of mercy. Paul is saying it's just not true. And you can't say, well, I just have the gift of mercy, so I'm not really significant here. Oh, yes, you're very significant here. And the person that has the gift of teaching can't say, well, you know, you just have the gift of mercy. I don't really need you. Oh, yes, we desperately need him. That's why we desperately need one another. And then finally, in verse 18, I want to go back to that verse just for a moment. It says, but now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. You got to get this from this chapter. You have been given a spiritual gift by the Holy Spirit, just as he desired, because he knows what gift would work best in your life. And then verse 18 says, he takes you as a member, and he places you in a body just as he desires. Now, if the body is a local church family, guess what? If you're coming to Auburn Grace and you believe that God has led you here for this season in your life, it's because you have a gift that our church needs to be benefiting from. And maybe, just maybe, the Holy Spirit is smart enough to put the right gift in you and then to lead you to the right congregation, because he wants you to exercise that gift because that church or our church really needs your gift. We don't need your muscle. We need your gift. We took a gift test on our staff several years ago, And out of the 10 of us on staff here, none of us had the gift of mercy ranked very high at all. So our office is a brutal place to work because there's no mercy. You come in with your zipper down or something and you are immediately ridiculed and made fun of in front of everybody. But you know what we really need is the mercy, because we don't want a church that's imbalanced. And maybe God has brought you to Auburn Grace and you thought he brought you here because you needed us, when really he brought you here because we need you. And he's smart enough to put a gift inside of you, and then he's brought you here for this season because your gift is needed within the confines of this church family. So when you go out to the ministry fair today, I just want you to think, Holy Spirit, where do you want me to plug my gift in? There's a bunch of opportunities out there. Now, let's wrap this up. We're going to skip ahead a little bit here. As I want you to know that the way our system works here at Auburn Grace is we offer a wide variety of what we call spiritual meals. And every spiritual meal lasts for about an hour and a half. A church service is a spiritual meal. A Sunday school class is a spiritual meal. A Bible study is a spiritual meal. A Wednesday night class is a spiritual meal. We offer a wide variety of spiritual meals. And what we encourage everyone at Auburn Grace to do is to make a commitment to 3 meals a week. That you would get into your schedule a time to attend 3 spiritual meals a week. It can be Sunday morning church, and then a Sunday school, and then Wednesday night. It can be church, and then Wednesday night in a small group. It can be a variety of things. So we encourage you and your family to commit to 3 spiritual meals a week. That's about 4.5 hours. And our design here is that you would dine at 2, and you would serve at 1. So that you get plenty of spiritual intake, but you don't become bloated because you also serve and have outtake. And so our weekend ministry fair is all about the one that you're going to serve in. We encourage you to go out today and to sign up to join a Bible study, to come to Wednesday Night Live when it starts in a couple weeks. But today is primarily designed to ask God, God, which one would you have me serve at? And I hope as you go away today, if you haven't signed up for something, then at least you're seriously considering something. Now, the opportunities to serve can be weekly service times. It can be maybe a couple times a month. It can be as a need basis. There's a wide variety of opportunities to go out there and to fit your schedule. So what we're going to do now is we're just going to stand and close in prayer. And we're getting out a little bit early so that you can have some extra time out there in the ministry fair. Reach out and grab your neighbor's hand, and let's close our service in prayer. Our gracious God in heaven, thank you that you orchestrated the church family, that this is something that you invented and initiated. And Lord, in each one of us as followers of Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit in us. And one of the beautiful gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to us is these spiritual gifts to engage and serve one another, so that we can all be what you want us to be, so that we can all grow to the unity of the faith in the Son of Man, so that we can all be equipped for serving you. So Lord, as we go out to the courtyard today, give us wisdom and insight into where and how you would want us to employ our gifts here in this church family. Show us how to do it, Lord, and may you bless each one as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you in the courtyard.